across Wisconsin from Civic Media. This is Up North News Radio. Now, live from our Lake Wissota studio, here's the founding editor of Up North News, Pat Breitlow.
Thank you, Don Rue. Good morning. Welcome back to Up North News Radio on Abashedly Wisconsin, brought to you by Courier Newsroom and carried by our friends on the Civic Media Radio Network, live from Chippewa Falls. I'm Pat Creightlow. It is 7:06. Nice to have you here on this Friday morning, June the 14th. Coming up this hour, we continue with our regular amazing stable of Friday workhorses. They include former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel on all manner of legal things we're going to ask him about. Live from Eau Claire, by the way, where he's attending Badger Boys State. We'll talk to Dan Schumacher about sports. We will talk to Mark Jacob about media coverage of the week's big stories, including his new column that divides political media into three distinct categories: the ruthless, the truthless, and the toothless. So stick around for all of that. You can join us along the way at 855-75-CIVIC, 855-75-CIVIC. You can also use that Civic Media app. In fact, let's get you using it right now. One last time here on Up North News Radio, but again throughout the course of the day today, you can text an hourly keyword to be entered in the Scani Summer Text to Win contest. It's a statewide contest where everybody's got a chance to win a wonderful staycation grand prize. There's hourly prizes, there's daily prizes, just so much to get entered in and potentially win. The Brewers tickets would be fantastic, great club seats. So here we go, one more time. This hour's keyword is cheese. Cheese. Text cheese using the Civic Media app our way, and you are entered into the contest. Again, different keywords each hour at 7, 9, 11, 1, 3, 5. So stay tuned throughout the day for each hour's keyword and get your chance to win. You've got to text cheese our way before 8 o'clock, and then you'll be entered to win. Let's see, we've got Rob from Tigerton is weighing in with stuff for Brittany Merlot and Greg Bach, who's out in Waukesha. Meteorologist Brittany Merlot is here as well. Let's see, from Rob, good morning from Tigerton. Yesterday, going to work mowing lawns in Tigerton, I saw a black bear running across the cornfield. There have been bears spotted in Shawano County, especially in Shawano, where a bear was spotted by the Shawano Library. The bears are very smart in Shawano and know to go to the library. Good on them. And he also says he learned about being kind from his mom. She told me instead of saying bad things about people, to say nice compliments because you can put smiles on yourself and the other person. It's in memory of my mom.
Aww.
Well, okay, now we get fine. Brittany, you do excellent forecasts, and we love hearing your voice every day. Look, see, we put a smile on her face just like that.
We're cheesing, like the keyword cheese, right?
That's right. That's exactly it. So welcome to summer. This is a very wonderful, typical summer morning here up on Lake Wissota. How are things looking around the state today?
Oh, beautiful today. My gosh, we're going to be anywhere from the mid-70s up north to the low 80s down south. Mostly sunny skies and just comfortable temperatures, not much humidity at all. In fact, the only downfall today is by the afternoon, winds are going to shift to out of the northeast, and that's going to give a little lake breeze. So towns by Lake Michigan, you may feel some upper 60s by later on this afternoon. Otherwise, tomorrow starts off pretty too. We are looking at partly cloudy skies, temperatures still comfortable out there, anywhere from the mid-70s. You know, further north, you'll be low 70s. It'll start to get breezy by late morning, and clouds start to increase as showers push in from the southwest. This is along the warm front that's going to be moving into the state. So we are looking at rain widespread for a good chunk of Saturday evening and then into Sunday morning. Now, some heavy, heavy rain is definitely pegged to fall into central Wisconsin. And actually, Pat, it looks like it's somewhere between you and I, anywhere between 2 to 3 inches of rainfall. And that looks mainly overnight Saturday and into Sunday morning. And then as we go into Sunday night, where this front lines up, we could see some more heavy rainfall as well. Now, for Father's Day, everybody's wondering, can we get outside? What's the weather going to be like? Well, rain in the morning, partly cloudy skies in the afternoon. It's going to get hot and it's going to get humid. I'm talking upper 80s to low 90s with dew points in the mid 70s. It's going to be feeling so sticky, oppressive, just claustrophobic, heavy feeling. And that's going to stick with us the entire week next week. So summer weather is really here. Upper 80s to low 90s next week. It all starts on Sunday. So make sure that AC is working, your fans are good to go, and you have ways to cool down.
That's fine. Dad will be wearing the Hawaiian shirt or whatever, you know, the typical dad shirt is, and you'll need it on something like that. Did you bring anything for show and tell on this coffee cup Friday?
You betcha.
Oh, look at that. You betcha, she says. What do we got there?
So this one has all the currents of the ocean, and it'll tell you if they're shallow or if they're deep and which way they're going. And
Brittany's,
you
know, mug makes us smarter.
I'm a nerd.
You are weathering. I switched coffee cups because I brought two today.
I was going to say, you brought two coffee cups now. What's that one?
This one is from a TV show that it's your show, so you can pronounce the title of it, but I'm afraid to because I don't want to get hit with the FCC, but it's David Rose from a TV show. Pat, you say it.
The TV show would be Schitt's Creek. It's okay to say it.
I have two David Rose coffee mugs at home, and this one just says, I'm trying very hard not to connect with people right now.
I love that.
you can't help but still a good mug.
No. All
right. Thank you, Brittany. Have a great weekend.
You too.
You can sign up for our daily newsletter over at upnorthnewswi.com. Again, upnorthnewswi.com. Don't forget the WI when you sign up for the newsletter. We'd love to have you there as a subscriber. All you got to do is click newsletter in the top banner. Today, there's a story that has, we've noticed these billboards, primarily in northeast Wisconsin, rural parts of the state, similar signs in North Carolina and Georgia. It's just a photo. Former President Donald Trump and convicted sex offender, the late Jeffrey Epstein. And they're not technically political billboards, and so we don't know who funded them, but they are going up and certainly designed to have some kind of an impact. So that story's in our newsletter. Everything you need to know about blood donation, because blood supplies run low in the summer and donors are needed more than ever. Also, there's another list of best supper clubs out there, and today's newsletter talks about three clubs in the Northwoods to put on your bucket list, and what waterfalls in Wisconsin can you camp near? So all of that and more in the daily newsletter. Sign up for it over at upnorthnewswi.com, and if you want to reach the show here, again, 855-75-CIVIC. Jane Mattenair and Todd Alba have their shows on the road. Yesterday, I joined them in Eau Claire, and today I'll join them later in Amory. Jane's show from 10 to noon, Todd's show from noon to 2. And at one point, one of our regular callers called into the show and said, well, Pat, I'm very disappointed that you don't take calls anymore. And I was just like, well, that's not true. And but I did explain one of my... two things about the show that I thought I would explain here again. First off, I think regular listeners probably know that we have very set breaks. Sometimes you hear us rushing because we're rushing the clock. And so we're going to break pretty much on the nines, 7:19, 7:29, and 7:49. And it's really something people will call in at, like, you know, 7:18 or 7:28. And I could rush you and say, hey, you got to make your point in 10 seconds. But typically I won't because I don't want to rush you. But also because we're an early morning show, sometimes what's in the next segment might be pre-taped. For example, Kia Vakil's appearances, because he's in Los Angeles, and we don't want to ask him to be on live at 4:30 Pacific time. So then we can't take the call into the next segment either. So we apologize if we can't get you on right away, but we do appreciate if you're willing to hold until there's a segment where we can get you on. But definitely do want you to call in at 855-75-CIVIC, or... I love the fact that you can text at that same number, 855-75-CIVIC, and send a text like Tony's putting up on not Facebook, on YouTube right now, all the cool kids text. Well, fine, Tony. Yeah, all the cool kids text, but did you text us that message? No, you put it on YouTube because you're watching the show there. On the Up North News YouTube page, You can send us a message there on the Up North News or the Civic Media Facebook pages. You can put a comment there, and we'll put it on screen, and we'll see it that way as well. So did not want you to think your input is not welcome. It very much is. On the national calendar today, Mr. Bach, it is a very short one besides Flag Day. It is, of course, Flag Day, but it's also Strawberry Shortcake Day, which we made some last weekend because we got too many strawberries, and so we picked up some shortcake, and oh, that was so good. And it's National Bourbon Day.
There we go.
So I'm checking out now for the rest of the day, because if there's one day that is a holiday for me, it would be National Bourbon Day. So
what's in Pat's coffee cup? It's booze.
No. There's no bourbon in today's UW Eau Claire alumni mug.
You know, I think it's interesting though too. It's former President Donald Trump's birthday today.
78. Yes,
And it's also Flag Day, and he just loves hugging flags. So I feel like it's the perfect marriage of weird and ugh, you know,
weird and patriotic, all in one. Yeah, that's exactly what it is. So yeah, it's a good day to fly the flag, and it's a good day not to fly the flag upside down, kids. There really is not a good excuse to do that. You know, especially if you're a Supreme Court justice or your wife. Former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel is joining us just a little bit early because we've got some, we've got the usual legal questions and issues that we're going to talk about. James, good morning to you.
Pat, always a pleasure to be with you, as you indicated today, from the campus of the University of Wisconsin, Eau Claire. What a great pleasure it is to be here.
Well, you're there for Badger Boy State, so I thought I would take this, 60 seconds before we jump into the legal stuff, and tell us what is Badger Boy State, in a concise manner, and what are you doing there?
Absolutely. This is the Wisconsin American Legion, the largest veterans group in the United States of America. Every year for about almost the past 100 years, somewhere around 89, 90 years or so, Wisconsin American Legion has brought together both boys and girls, two different presentations during the course of the summertime, juniors in high school going to their senior year. It's all about civics this week. We play government. We play municipal government, county government, state government, elections, campaigning. And today, the Badger Boys State Supreme Court is in session about an hour and a half, and working with them to decide cases here as a part of this wonderful civics education initiative by the American Legion.
It's so amazingly enjoyable. It's the kind of stuff that I did. I was going to say nerdly, and then people are going to get offended, but no, it's good to put that brain to work on things that are important related to civics. So thank you for working on that. Jim's going to stand by, and then we're going to talk about some big Supreme Court rulings and other matters in the news coming up next, wherever you're listening on this Friday morning. When you're here, you're up north. We'll be right back. Back with Jim Santel in just a moment. First, a reminder, Brewers were off yesterday. They start a 3-game series at home against the Cincinnati Reds. You can catch the pregame starting at 6:35 on Civic Media stations in Richland Center, Racine, Kenosha, Park Falls, and Oshkosh. Amicus, or Amicus, depending on your potato, potato, tomato, tomato preference, can be heard live Saturday mornings from 9 to 11 on Civic Media stations around Wisconsin. Play it back on Sunday morning as well. The man behind it all is former U.S. Attorney Jim Santel, and he returns with us now where he's helping out at Badger Boy State at UW Eau Claire. And, of course, Jim, we're going to start by talking about Hunter Biden. No, we're not. No, if we might make time for Hunter Biden, but more likely than not. We're going to start first with the Mifepristone ruling by the U.S. Supreme Court. And I'm not going to get into the notion that, you know, they didn't strike down Mifepristone access. The question I have for you is the one about what's called standing. You know, do you even have the standing to come into court and bring the suit? And that is what the Supremes yesterday ruled on, not the merits of Mifepristone, not the merits of whether the FDA should exist or not. They said that the parties here, as you have explained to us previously, you know, don't have standing because they can't show direct harm from this. So here's my question. Standing sounds like one of the most basic things. And so it seems if it goes all the way to the Supreme Court and they have to say there's no standing, it seems like such a dunk on the lower courts that should have taken care of this. Do judges at lower levels, do they have to go sit in a corner or something if they can't, you know, figure out standing before it gets to the Supreme Court?
It certainly does sound as if there should be some remedy or some response to those lower courts who apparently, as we learned yesterday, as you just rightly indicated, Pat, got it wrong on this very threshold issue. Standing, as you just said, got to be able to show in all cases, all civil cases, I've been harmed in some cognizable, some material, some knowable way. And here, yesterday, the Supreme Court says, you know what? These medical doctors and these associations affiliated with them just haven't shown that they have suffered a particular kind of damage. Now, the issue has certainly been raised at the lower courts. So that's why maybe we'll give them a little bit of a break here. But again, the Supreme Court saying, wait a minute, we don't have to get to the merits. All of you lower courts did get it wrong when you addressed this issue. We're straightening all this out to say we got the wrong plaintiffs in this case. Fascinating decision on standing. And also, when you get to the substance, you got it just right. Mifepristone still approved then by the FDA. But plainly, the members of the Supreme Court, nobody wants to undermine the FDA. That was clear from the oral argument. And yet you've got at least 5-6 members of the Supreme Court who also don't want to go on record saying mifepristone, an abortion drug, is okay. And so this is punting. This is not getting to the main issue. And it's preserving the capacity to bring this up again when so-called the right plaintiffs get to the Supreme Court.
The right plaintiffs and also, you know, they know, political animals that they are, that, you know, a ruling striking down mifepristone access would be used as a political issue between now and November. So there's nothing at all that says next year, and let's say especially if Donald Trump wins and if Congress remains in Republican hands, that they wouldn't then take this up because they, the six conservative justices, are still very much going after, you know, the regulatory state in this country, the thing that keeps our water clean, keeps our drugs safe. And I know this to be true, Jim, I think, because of the other issue they ruled on yesterday, dealing with Starbucks workers who want to unionize. The National Labor Relations Board took some action, and the Supreme Court basically, you know, said, no, we're siding with Starbucks rather than the National Labor Relations Board. So it's not the FDA this time. It's not the EPA this time. But the Supreme Court is still very much just itching to dismantle parts of the federal government that we entrust to keep us safe.
Right, absolutely. And again, in this case, this is the Starbucks NLRB versus McKinnis, the formal name of it, basically saying that the lower courts misapplied a judicial standard. They rearticulated a four-part standard. But the larger issue is, again, Pat, precisely what you just identified. There has been for a long time, and especially in this term, what I would describe as a judicial attack on the so-called administrative state. It doesn't exist. It's this notion that we should trust people who are experts, who are agents, people all of their lives who make these important decisions. They're not to be trusted. We don't know who they are, and therefore let's shut them down. This case, again, is in that area. Recognize that there are at least two other cases we're still waiting to hear from. One of them involving the SEC, whether the Supreme Court will permit that agency to go ahead, at least as it was constituted, what, in 1920 or so, an attack on the SEC. And there's a big case called Loper Bright Enterprises. It also focuses upon whether or not an agency's determination about the interpretation of a law should be upheld when that the statute itself is perhaps a bit ambiguous. For 40 years on a case called Chevron, the Supreme Court and other lower courts have said, we will defer to agency experts because they know what they're talking about. This issue that you just identified here in Starbucks, in another case, SEC versus Jarchese, Loper Bright, all these cases are inside the Supreme Court questioning, again, 40 years of precedent, 40 years of tradition in our country that says, you know what, absent a decision of an agency being unreasonable, we will defer to that because they know better. The mifepristone case is also in that category, of course, went in the opposite direction. But we're by no means done with this issue.
No, not at all. And again, it's people say, well, so what? So what is it? You're opening the door to the politicization of issues, which we also see at the Wisconsin legislature level, where Republicans want to micromanage how funds are spent for PFAS cleanup rather than letting the experts at the Department of Natural Resources handle that. And again, in a kinder, gentler time, you know, we trusted the experts, and now we've got what I would argue is a corporate or commerce class in our legislative bodies saying, oh, no, we should let our elected officials do it, which is a way of saying we should let the elected officials who are getting campaign donations from big industry, we should let them make the rules instead. And that would not be a good thing for our political system, for our agency system, for our safety, but for our legal system as well, I would argue.
Right. And it has been the practice, again, for 250 years almost, that legislatures pass laws, and those the legislative language prescribes broad concepts, right? They can't possibly address every single case. And so you go to the agencies and say, here's the standard, here are the principles to apply. You know what you're doing, you do this. As you just indicated, Pat, this trend in the opposite direction turns all of our legislators into specific decision makers on fact-specific matters. You don't want that. Not only does it slow down government, again, it places responsibility in the hands of people who, with due respect, are not experts in these areas. I would go so far as to say they don't know what they're talking about. And it really is a great concern beyond all of those issues, legislative and the Loper-Bright, the H.R. Casey case, recognize that what happens in those other cases could apply to all kinds of other federal agencies. Oh, for example, Social Security Administration,
right?
HUD, HHS. How many agencies are we engaged with every single day? And we've got to rely upon those expertise.
The ramifications are endless. And by the way, we didn't get into Hunter Biden because we've made this point already. For Republicans who are cheering that Hunter Biden was convicted, congratulations. You're now in favor of universal background checks and gun registries. Way to play yourself. Jim Santel will have more on Amicus 9 a.m. tomorrow across the Civic Media Radio Network. Thank you, sir.
Pat, happy Flag Day to you and your listeners.
Thank you very much. Mark Jacob is next. You're up north. All right, one more from the Yacht Rock Library before we turn things over to the Grateful Dead in about 15, 20 minutes here. Again, the Scotty Summer Text to Win contest. The keyword for this hour is cheese. Text that in using the Civic Media app before 8 o'clock, and you will be in the running for a random drawing for some great prizes, hourly, daily, and a grand prize staycation as well. All right, Mark Jacob is with us now. You can get his newsletter at stopthepresses.news. He's also got a video series with Stephen Beschloss. And this time around, we're going to talk about the three distinct categories of political media. That's what he's got in his latest Stop the Presses newsletter. Mark, good morning. How are you?
Doing great.
All right. I love this headline. Today's media, the ruthless, the truthless, and the toothless. And as I've said a couple times already today, you'd think I'd be most upset about the truthless. No, it is definitely about the toothless, and yeah, we'll get to them last. Let's go with the ruthless and the truthless first, and what you wrote about, you know, the pros and cons of those outfits.
Yeah, well, these are the three categories of people who are, and media outlets that are either consciously and purposely causing damage to our democracy, or just don't care. They're too busy worrying about their own careers, and they're just going to let the liars lie. So the ruthless, you know, it's pretty easy to see those people, such as Rupert Murdoch. And I talk about how Rupert Murdoch is pretty much the worst thing that's ever happened to American democracy. If democracy dies, you know, the autopsy report will list him as the primary cause of death. And that's because, you know, you've seen Fox News and increasingly, you know, lying about stuff. His New York Post is just terrible. They did something, Pat, yesterday where they took a Biden clip from Europe and they took it totally out of context to make it seem as if he was wandering off from the group when he was actually turning it and talking to somebody who had just done a demonstration. And so they cut out that person, took it out of context, you know, just to make it look, well, Biden's wandering off. No, it's just a lie by the New York Post, you know, picked up by right wing media. So Pat, these people are not, they're not accidentally doing this. They are ruthless. No. And I looked up the definition of ruthless to make sure I had it right. And it's people who cause harm and don't care. They don't care that they're harming people. And that's what these people are. And, you know, the funny thing in this newsletter, well, let me rant about Murdoch just a little bit longer.
Sure.
I feel like, you know, you look at, he owns the Wall Street Journal, and Wall Street Journal was the one that did that incredibly terrible report on Joe Biden, in which the main named person, you know, saying that, well, Biden's slipping, was Kevin McCarthy. Kevin McCarthy, one of the biggest liars in America, and somebody who clearly has an axe to grind and wants Biden to fail. So that's the only, that's the main named person. And it's come out since then that a lot of Democrats talked to the Wall Street Journal for the story, and they just weren't quoted. I mean, so it was just a hit piece. It's a Murdoch hit piece.
Well,
and then there's another angle with Murdoch. Murdoch is a former employer of Will Lewis, the guy at the Washington Post, who's now publisher of the Washington Post, and was involved in the attempted cover-up of Murdoch's horrible phone hacking scandal. Do you remember that, Pat?
Yeah, I do.
That's where they were hacking into the phones of celebrities and royals, you know, to write stories. I mean, just not only illegal, but just reprehensible and unethical. And Lewis was not involved in that. He was involved. He came in later, and he's being accused of being involved in the cover-up. And because a lot of emails just suddenly disappeared, that kind of stuff.
And this is not just a national thing. This is a local thing, which takes us to the other example that you give, which is Sinclair Broadcasting, which owns stations, TV stations in Wisconsin and across the country, which also comes from an extreme ideological point of view, to the point where they too will purposefully mislead their viewers.
Yeah, I know, it's so funny. I wrote this newsletter before the latest Sinclair thing. And I'm glad I included Sinclair, because they did what they did is they took that stupid Wall Street Journal story and they hyped it up, and they had their local anchors read the intro to it so that it created this kind of sense of, well, it's your local trusted person telling you that Biden's slipping. And this is the insidious thing about Sinclair. They own 185 stations all over the country. And studies have shown that local news is much more trustworthy than national news now. So this is their way to sneak in kind of horrible messages, you know, using people who are supposedly trustworthy, and the people are going to tell you when a thunderstorm's coming to hit you so that you have to trust them. So those are the what I would call the main ruthless people I mentioned in the piece were Murdoch gang and Sinclair.
They're the ones that are overt in their activity. And then your next category, the truthless, is related, but it's less about ideology and more about I'll say whatever it takes to be famous.
Right. I mean, because, you know, Jesse Waters, I focus on him at Fox News because he's just awful. And I don't think Jesse Waters cares. I don't think he's, well, he wants conservative values. He wants a balanced budget. Jesse Waters doesn't care if there's a balanced budget. He cares if his own personal budget is really, really unbalanced because he's got a lot of money. I mean, it's what I call not ideologues, but careerists. These are people who are on the air just to con the rubes, is the way I put it, to tell gullible people lies. And, you know, and Jesse Waters, you know, is it's so insidious. He's like, his main campaign lately has been to undermine our judicial system by, you know, talking about how prejudiced the jurors are, and like the Trump jurors, he said that they were against Trump because they're teachers, they watch CNN, and they like to dance. You know, because this came up in the, you know, the interviews with jurors they do. Oh, right. And they like to dance. Well, they're probably against Trump. I don't know why Trump dances on stage. So,
yeah.
But so he just does this, and then he does this crap with crime. You know, and as you know, you've pointed out, crime is down. Crime is down.
Yeah, but you wouldn't know listening to people like him.
No,
there's also, you know, Maria Bartiromo is another one. You get into Chris Cuomo, again, Kathleen Parker, some other newspaper columnists, you know, who just can't help but be wrong all the time.
Right.
But they're writing things that, you know, they want to hear. Now we get to the toothless, and these are the ones who, well, how do you describe them?
Well, these are people who are wasting their power. These are people who have great influence in the media. They could be confronting the liars. They could be, they could be real guardians of truth. But instead, they're looking for their own personal advantage. I cite a few, like I cite Ben Smith, who's started the Semaphore news outlet, and in the debut of Semaphore a couple years ago, the main guest, the first guest they had was Tucker Carlson. So hey, we're a news outlet, so we're gonna feature Tucker Carlson. So I mean, so obviously they did that to get attention. They know Tucker Carlson's a liar. But it didn't matter to them. They were doing it for attention, Pat. And this is what I'm talking about. These are people who have, they're toothless because they have the ability to bite hard and hurt people who lie. They have the ability to be ferocious guardians of the truth in our news media. But at the same time, they're not. They're just kind of going along. And, you know, you also have Kristen Welker and the Meet the Press stuff where she invited Trump on to lie on her debut episode. So,
and of course, we've talked about the New York Times ad nauseum. But the other angle on that I wanted to throw in that makes them toothless is not just the things they choose to play up, but right. The things they choose to downplay. For example, this week there was a headline. I'll bet 9 out of 10 people listening haven't heard that the main shipping lane in the Baltimore Harbor is open.
Right.
That's a big deal. You're not going to hear about it. You don't hear anything about how many records Wall Street set this week. You're hearing nothing about the Bob Menendez, the corruption trial of a sitting United States senator, which is leaps and bounds more important than Hunter Biden. The crime stats that are plummeting, the inflation numbers that are leveling off, and it's those conscious choices as well to downplay certain stories that also renders them toothless, it seems.
Well, yes, and that to me is, I've written about this before, because there's a tendency in news media to just focus on the negative, and so competence always gets underappreciated. You know, you look at the infrastructure bill. Trump couldn't pass an infrastructure bill. Biden passed it. But you know, but when you're a motorist and you're driving to work and all this other stuff, and you don't hit a pothole and you don't have a flat tire. Well, what are you thinking? You're not thinking, well, I really like Joe Biden because I didn't hit a pothole today. You're not thinking about that. That's why it's really important for the news media to remind you of that, to tell you, because that's an important thing. And the, you know, in the bridge stuff is part of it. Same thing happened, you know, listen, there was a big highway collapse in Philadelphia, wasn't there, a while back? And that got fixed really fast because the Pennsylvania governor is a Democrat and actually gave a damn, and it was Shapiro, and he's very competent. Competence is undervalued right now. You know, the Hollywood kind of politics of Hollywood kind of showiness is overvalued.
The show is the important part, and something that I mentioned a couple of days back, and I see Jennifer Schulte just wrote about it, wrote a column over at Heartland Signal about it. I asked my listeners the other day, read a transcript of Donald Trump's rallies. Don't look at a clip here and there. Don't even watch the video. Read the transcript and tell me what you think, you know, about the packaging of a video rally versus the substance of what he's actually saying, which isn't much. There's a whole lot of gibberish in there.
A whole lot of craziness. And that's, again, Pat, a story that they're not writing. Mm-hmm. I mean, they're writing, well, you know, Biden might be old, you know, but they're not writing the story of Trump. Every time he has a public appearance, shows that he's out of his mind. He's out of his damn mind. And, you know, he's like ranting about Hannibal Lecter. He's ranting about sharks.
Boats.
Right. I mean, it's crazy stuff. And, you know, and that's what they're writing about. And I tweeted this morning, I was just thinking about it, that mainstream media is obsessed with, you know, first ladies. They always have been obsessed with first ladies. Where's the story about why Melania won't have anything to do with Trump? Where's that story? I haven't seen that story. Have you seen that story?
No, I have not.
And you would think that she would have a lot of inside information of of Trump's, the value of being around Trump. And if she's actively avoiding him, there's probably a pretty good reason.
No, instead there was, you know, why is Jill Biden showing up at the courtroom every day? You know, always looking for that negative lens. I want to end with Donald Trump's comment yesterday about Milwaukee being a horrible city. But rather than, you know, whether he said it or didn't say it, and of course, to hear Republicans from Wisconsin, they can't get on the right story. We've heard three or four different interpretations of what he meant. But I do want to zero in on this part of it, and that is, this was first reported by Punchbowl News. Jake Sherman put something out that Trump said it. And so some of the blowback has been about, you know, basically anonymous sources and saying, well, you know, how do we know he said it? We haven't got confirmation that he said it. And yet everybody runs with it anyway. And I think if you could talk for a moment about why, whether it's a Punchbowl News or if it could have been a Washington Post or New York Times reporter or somebody going with it first. I mean, there are some things where you don't necessarily have the time or the wherewithal to find a second person in the room of this private meeting to get confirmation.
Yeah, it's a tough one. It's always a tough one when you use an anonymous source. But I mean, here you have Trump going back to Capitol Hill and meeting with the Republicans in Congress. It's a closed meeting. You know, it could have been an open meeting. I mean, if they didn't have anything to hide, they could have had an open meeting and just had Trump talk to the members of Congress, and the news media could have just written it down and recorded it. But they didn't want that because they had things to hide. And so Jake Sherman, pretty well sourced, you know, that somebody in the room is like texting him and saying, you know, here's what he said, here's what he said. Do you go with it? I mean, I think you go with it because it has a high level of credibility, because it's the way Trump operates. I mean, he's been demonizing American cities, you know, the whole time he's been in politics. So
it's not out of character. That's the thing, you know?
No. And the thing is, Pat, the RNC confirmed it. Trump later confirmed it.
Yes.
Mike Johnson, our House Speaker, you know, closely in line to be head of the country someday, he said, well, I was sitting right next to him and I didn't hear it. Well, maybe you weren't listening, Mike, because a lot of other people did hear it.
Or maybe, you know, again, the willingness to simply lie to reporters is, again, I mean, it's not new, but it's at a level now that just makes it so hard to trust certain people in elected positions. And they try to pass it off as lack of trust in, you know, the journalists who are just trying to get a story out. Mark Jacob, thank you as always. Appreciate it. Have a great weekend.
You too.
All right. And when we come back, we'll talk to Dan Schumacher. We'll get the weekend started. We'll talk a little sports and more after this. You're up north. On this day in 1970, the Grateful Dead released their fourth studio album, Working Man's Dead. It had some shorter songs than their previous albums, like Casey Jones, making their music more accessible. At least that's what Aaron Zomers told me when he wrote this last year for this day in history. So can I get some confirmation on this?
Yeah, they owed the record company a lot of money from their previous albums because they're just too long of songs. They weren't getting radio play. And so they came in with this Western style sound, the country music almost sound, a Bakersfield type sound, as they called it, from California, and shorter songs that were playable.
Love it. I love this version of, I love this era, like the countryfied. Yeah, I could listen to it all day.
Dan, I'd normally start by talking about the Brewers. They did not play yesterday. They start a series in Cincinnati. So I'm going to take that time that I would have talked about the Brewers, and I'm going to turn things back over to Greg, because we had so much on our to-do list today that I neglected, as I often do on Fridays, to ask what's happening over at the Laughing Tap.
Laughing Tap, we got three shows, one tonight, two tomorrow, 7:30 tonight, 7:30 and 10 tomorrow. Jeannie Dugan, Chicago comedy stalwart, wonderful comic. She's going to be doing three shows here at the Laughing Tap. You can get your tickets at laughingtap.com. No drink minimums, $22 online, $25 at the door. It's going to be a great time. You'll see my face, so I'm sorry, but it's also going to be great. It's going to be a fun time. Dan, Pat, you guys should come down and see a show sometime. You'll enjoy yourselves.
I was just going to say, Dan, we have to stop talking about this.
Yeah, we have to stop talking.
We talk about it all the time. Now, mm-hmm. I'm going up to Amory for the shows today. Matt and Air on Air at 10 a.m. Todd Albo will have his show from noon to 2. Then I'm driving back from Amory. And by the time I get to the Mallard at some point later on, we're just going to grab a bar napkin. And we're going to start looking at dates and figure out when the heck we can finally get down and see Greg and see the folks at the Laughing Tap.
That would be great. That would be wonderful.
Yeah, and then we're going to send a note to Greg, and he's going to text back, no, I'm gone that weekend. No, that's just not going to work out, guys. Sorry. I did not get a chance. You did invite us to join you yesterday. A little late getting back from things, so didn't go down to my pontoon. Did you get out on your boat yesterday? He said, knowing the answer already.
No, dead battery. Yeah. It's charging right now. I haven't used the boat in 3 weeks, but I kind of got a concern because the button that was left on was the bilge.
Oh, so, okay.
And I don't know if that burns out the bilge by being on that much, but.
Does it have an automatic shutoff though? Yeah, I don't know. Okay, well, yeah, I guess I'll hear a tale from you one way or the other a little bit later on here. Yeah. I heard this morning that your Cubs, I believe, have lost 8 of their last 9 home series, something like that, or 8 of their series overall.
Friend lost his mind on Twitter last night. Bob Gallagher was losing his mind.
No.
Yeah. He's just throwing counsel underneath the bus, and a lot of Chicago people are. They're wondering what they got for that kind of money.
I do know that, yeah, he had mentioned earlier whether we would take Greg Counsell back. and the answer is no. No, we would not. Here it is. I'm finding some of these now. Oh, wait, these are from – oh, my God, he's got a whole string of them. It's like every time the Cubs lose. Here's one. Cubs lucky to win 65 games. Offense is pathetic. Counsell, what an awful hire. $40 million, what a heist. Hoyer, brutal. Who's Hoyer?
Hoyer's the president of the Cubs.
Oh, okay. Okay. The Cubs officially quit under Counsell, he writes 4 days later. No leadership from the top down. What a bad team. 2 days after that, Craig Counsell gives up on games. It's his trademark. Must save the bullpen. Cubs will be lucky to win 65 games this year. An anemic hitting team. Zero grit on the north side, whereas the Brewers are all grit. And then a day after that.
I told you he's going nuts.
Hoyer, Counsell, 2024. What a bust. Bad from top down. Hoyer can't evaluate. Counsell can't manage. Position players can't hit. A bad franchise that lacks any direction. And then 5 days after that, thanks to horrible leadership from the Cubs, Counsell and Hoyer, I no longer care about baseball. These two obviously don't care, which is what he says for, about a week. And then he'll be back. And in fact, he posted yesterday about Hoyer in the Cubs bullpen. Bob, buddy. I love you.
Who is this?
You got to be good to you. This is Bob Gallagher is one of the morning anchor at Channel 13. He was a sports director during all of my time there. And, lives and breathes, the Bears and the Cubs. But it also, of course, he's lived in Wisconsin for way more than half his life. Right. He covers the Packers and Badgers better than anybody, but he still keeps that little hometown sense of hope, and it's killing him. It's killing my brother, Bob. Yeah. Come on, Bobby.
Hey, two things on my end.
Yes, sir.
We'd like to talk to you about one. Did you see the video of the speech by Tom Brady?
No, I did not. I thought maybe you were going to mention Roger Federer. We played some of the Roger Federer one the other day. That was one of the best addresses. All I saw from the Tom Brady one was the very beginning. I saw a clip someplace where he says, I'm Tom Brady and I'm a Patriot. Yes. And he got to a big applause, of course, at the stadium there in Foxborough, Massachusetts. So good on him for being inducted into the Patriots Hall of Fame. What else? What other impression did you get?
Just a great messaging. It was from the heart. It wasn't scripted. You could tell he talked about that life is hard, and it doesn't matter if you're Tom Brady or anybody, that life is hard and you're going to have, hills to climb and a journey to have. And it was pretty impressive. I'd encourage anybody that wants to get a lift on a Friday going into the weekend to listen to that speech. It's pretty inspiring. It's right on. you know.
Does he include anything about not unretiring and maybe going and learning your children's names first or anything like that? No, he doesn't. Okay,
nothing like that.
Okay,
just but the other. Sure. But the other one is, how about Aaron Rodgers?
Let's how about Aaron?
Oh, how about him?
What am I missing about Aaron now?
Oh, the big controversy. He skipped the OTAs this week because he had a prior engagement that it's a mystery on what he's actually doing, and everybody's is he back in a cave and doing?
He had to be on a podcast.
Something he said he had to do, and he's getting fined for it. And the coach.
Well, the fine was like $40,000, which is, you know, the change that's on his nightstand. So
he's such a drama queen, man. He goes to a new team, and it's a drama.
You know
drama
who showed up to OTA? Jordan Love, happily.
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
See? I like that. You're going to miss this next week, as I was looking at some of the things we'll talk about next week. Next Tuesday is National Splurge Day. So on Tuesday, I'm going to be asking, what little luxuries do you add to your life now, or which big ones would you get if you could really splurge? So if I told you, you know, just quickly, word association, you get to splurge on something, what'd be the next thing?
Oh, I know what I'd buy. I'd buy one of those massive Mercedes living out of a van type world.
There we go.
I would go on the road.
You'd go on the road and you'd follow anything Grateful Dead related.
I would see as much live music around the country as I possibly could and live in a van and down by the river.
Well, trust me, I can see you living in a van. I don't know if it'll be a Mercedes, but one way or the other. All right, buddy. I'll talk to you a little later on.
See you guys. See you, Greg.
All right. Greg's with Matt and Air on Air. And Jane will be in Amory coming up a couple of hours from now. Thanks to all of you for being part of this. Have a wonderful weekend. Megan Rowe from Opportunity Wisconsin joins us on Monday morning. Thanks for being here up north. See you Monday morning.